Welcome back to Uprising. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. Yosemite National Park turns 125 on Thursday. While the venerable park has been the site of millions of visits by Americans and non-Americans over the years, it obscures an ugly past built on the displacement of its original inhabitants, Native Americans. To draw attention to that history, a young woman named Tessia Bobrecky catapulted herself off of the famed Yosemite Peak El Capitan. She dangled 3,000 feet in the air, held up only by a rope. Bobrecky is with the group Survival International that draws attention to the dark side of conservation efforts globally. Bobrecky said, quote, "I love Yosemite, but my love for the place does not excuse the fact that Native Americans were violently evicted or killed when it was created. And it does not excuse the fact that parks around the world now follow its example, from Cameroon to Botswana to India." Tessia Bobrecky is an activist with Survival International's Stop the Con campaign, and she now joins me live on the program. Welcome to Uprising, Tessia.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, I watched the video of your stunt, and it was very scary to even just look at you. And I want to ask you in a few minutes what motivated that. But first, let's set the stage. How do you explain the standard model of conservation today, which I understand was essentially developed many years ago in the United States?
Yeah, so this conservation model is one that involves the eviction and often horrific mistreatment of local people in order to create conservation areas. And we saw that in the creation of Yellowstone and Yosemite. And unfortunately, it's not a thing in the past. It's being replicated around the world, where people try to create parks or reserves or whatnot, and they do it by evicting the local people who are often managing the environment better than they can without them being there.
So on your website, there's a report that says current conservation practices often decrease biodiversity, encourage destructive development projects, and result in mounting human rights abuses. Can you give us some contemporary examples of these types of things?
Absolutely. One of the cases we work on are tiger reserves in India. And so the tribes have been illegally removed from these tiger reserves with little to no compensation. And then where you see these huge hotels being built on the places where they used to live, and then you see thousands of tourists being chucked in to chase around the tiger for a viewing, which is incredibly stressful to the animal and harmful, and doesn't lead to the conservation of the wildlife or the tiger at all. Meanwhile, you have these tribes who were evicted who often revere the tiger as holy and sacred and want to see their protection even perhaps more than the Western conservation organizations.
So let's talk about what motivated you. I'm assuming that there is an interesting story behind why you made a life-risking stunt to draw attention to this issue.
Yeah, I was first exposed to this issue in 2008. I had the opportunity to meet the Batwa tribe in Burundi, and I visited a reservation where I just witnessed these deplorable conditions, these dry, unworkable plots of land, and the Batwa people who live a very incredible lifestyle in the forest were left to now beg or try to sell pottery and basically slowly die and lose touch with their culture. And it was really horrific, and I was told that they were removed to protect primates, basically, to create these parks. And it just shocked me that environmental organizations that I really respected and upheld were at the root of these really, in my mind, human rights abuses.
So did you then realize that this was something that was a model that was replicated around the world and also historically used in the United States?
That didn't really hit me until later on. I came back to go to school and get educated, and later now I'm joined Survival, and then can see the global implications and the historical implications here in the West. And so this stunt was really to basically just capture attention long enough to start a conversation, to remind people that there is this dark history around the parks, and to then demonstrate that our conservation model is being replicated. And so in many ways, it's our responsibility.
So essentially, humans are being driven out of lands that their communities might have inhabited for hundreds, maybe thousands of years, in order to create parks for tourists and also, in some cases, reserves for animals.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible. And, you know, it's obvious, and I guess most people, even those who attend these parks and go to these parks and celebrate conservation efforts and celebrate environmentalism, don't really think about it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very much a hidden history, but it's also in some ways a hidden present as well.
So the Stop the Con campaign, which I guess is a play on the words conservation being a con, or the current model of conservation being a con, you know, I'm sure there's mounting obstacles that conservationists do face. And there might be a danger of perceiving your campaign as being anti-environmental.
Yeah, we've gotten those critiques, and I think it comes from a misunderstanding of our campaign in general. In reality, the best and most efficient method of conservation is to protect and support tribes and not evict them. And our goal is to protect these areas, is to see the success of conservation, but it cannot be done by abusing people. It cannot be done by illegally evicting people and then subjecting them to incredible abuse. And it doesn't have to be done either. The people that are being evicted are not poachers. They're not harming the environment. They've been living sustainably there for thousands of years. And those who do hunt to feed their families are doing it in a way that is often very sustainable. And we see, like, when we remove a predator, like the wolf in Yellowstone, that it's not actually good for the environment at all. So we're asking for a radical shift in conservation. Go ahead.
Have you had any success in reaching out to organizations that are involved in these anti-human, if you will, or human rights violating conservation efforts? And have you had any success in getting through to an understanding that Indigenous peoples have to be able to enjoy self-determination like the rest of us?
Unfortunately, all our attempts at conversation have not been successful. I mean, there's been, before we came to such a more adversarial campaign like Stop the Con, we did try a lot of different conversations where we were just doing these large reports and demonstrating that a lot of these practices are resulting in these incredible human rights abuses. And unfortunately, that wasn't successful at all. We're either shrugged off or attacked or whatnot. And so now we want to appeal to the general population. We want there to be this groundswell of public opinion that understands that we don't have to continue conservation in this way. In fact, that we would prefer it in a way that supported both the people and their land.
Are there examples around the world? I'm thinking of the Amazon, where there are many Amazon rainforests, where there are many indigenous communities. Are there examples where indigenous communities are part of the equation when it comes to conserving natural spaces?
Yeah, there are some examples, though not nearly enough. But you do see in South America, if you use satellite imaging, the areas with the most dense, the healthiest rainforests are areas where indigenous people, their territory has been demarcated, and they're allowed to live in the way that they have been living for a while, and their borders are upheld. And those areas are the places where we see that the Amazon is thriving the most. So there's multiple examples of that, which definitely helps this understanding that a new conservation is possible if you incorporate the local people.
And so what specifically are you hoping to do with your campaign? Tomorrow, I had mentioned, is the 125th anniversary of Yosemite, and you're using that to bring up this issue again. What are you calling on ordinary people to do? Is there a petition they can sign? Is there a bill in Congress? Is there, give us specifics.
Yeah, so what we want people to do is there is a petition on our website at survivalinternational.org /StopTheCon. And there's a petition you can sign called Their Land, Their Future. But there's what we want supporters to do right now is to submit your own Stop the Con image or video or drawing, and to demonstrate that there is a groundswell of public opinion asking for this change in conservation. So you can do that by, like you see I did, make a video, though do it very safely, whatever you do, and or you can take a picture or create a drawing with Stop the Con on it and submit it to stop@survivalinternational.org. And with this, we really, I mean, it's twofold. In one aspect, we want to just stop the torture and the abuse and the illegal evictions and the harm, but we also want to inspire radical change in the heart of conservation that takes tribal people into the equation and actually lets them lead the efforts.
Is it too late for places like Yosemite and Yellowstone and here in the United States?
I wish our organization had the capacity to take on every fight, and unfortunately we don't. So I don't know what the best method of going forward would be for Yosemite, but what I do know is that we can prevent this from continuing to happen around the world.
And again, that website is survivalinternational.org, where our audience can find the petition as well as an email address to send photos of themselves participating in the campaign. Thank you so much, Tessia, and best of luck to you.
Thank you.
My guest is Tessia Bobricky. She's an activist with the group Survival International and has taken on their Stop the Con campaign about conservation efforts worldwide that fail to incorporate the needs and the well-being of indigenous communities that inhabited the land they're trying to conserve. This is Uprising. When we come back, Gabriela Valle will join us in studio to talk about why California Latinas for Reproductive Justice is standing with Planned Parenthood. Stay tuned.